Let us pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and my Redeemer. Amen. For those of you who have not yet heard or figured it out just by the colors that are adorning the sanctuary and your pastor this morning, today is Reformation Sunday. And you might expect that because of that, I am going to talk about how God reformed the church in the past and continues to reform the church today. All of that is true. The Spirit is still ever working. But it is also true that God's vision for creation, specifically how humanity would ideally live in relationship with God and with one another, has not changed. It has never been reformed. It has remained constant since the first word of creation. Jesus's linking of the two greatest commandments isn't anything new. In fact, it's part of the law recorded in Leviticus. Love of God and love of neighbor are inextricably linked. To fully do one, you must also do the other. Over the last couple of weeks, as we have been reading through the Gospel of Matthew, we have heard about various groups putting Jesus to the test. This week, it is the Pharisees trying to trap him, which is interesting because they are the religious group of the day who have the most in common with Jesus, both religiously and politically. However, it is what they disagree on, that is, how exactly what love of God should look like. It is that which Jesus critiques with his answer this morning. The Pharisees focus on the first, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And therefore, they put a very great emphasis on the purity codes as the main way of showing love for God. The purity codes of Jesus' day and for all of ancient Israel were the directions of how to stay ritually clean, which happened through things like a curated diet, avoidance of blood, and a variety of other rules of things to avoid and practices to do. These are all recorded in the Bible, and I can imagine that many of them were extremely helpful, if not vital, for the health of the people in ancient Israel as individuals and as a community. However, as portrayed in the Gospels, the Pharisees had become almost solely focused on keeping these laws to the point that following them was more important than their neighbors, than other people themselves. One example that comes to mind is the story of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite pass along on the other side of the road. One reason that we think that might be true is because they did not want to be ritually defiled by the bloodied body of the man who had been beaten. They were on their way to the temple and they needed to stay ritually clean, and so they passed their wounded neighbor by. It's just one example of how sometimes we can put our understanding of how to show our love for God over and against an action that would show love for neighbor. It is just one example of when love of God and love of neighbor are separated, really neither gets done. The same thing happened later in history, leading up to the Protestant Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church were trying to raise money to build a grand basilica in Rome, a way of showing love for God with beautiful space in which to worship. But in the midst of doing so, they started to sell indulgences. They told people that they could shave time off of either their or their loved one's stay in purgatory by putting a little money in the box. When you are hearing that what you do determines how long you stay in purgatory, stay away and out of the love of God in heaven, it is so easy to be lured into thinking that putting a little money in the box can shorten that time. And so people that couldn't really even spare that money were lured to give it or to travel to Rome to do other things in order to earn indulgences so that they might change their amount of time in purgatory. Luther railed against this practice because it put a seemingly love of God over love of neighbor. He argued that no basilica was worth cheating people out of their hard-earned money, even money that might otherwise have been used to buy bread. But we can't just look to the past. The same thing happens over and over again today. We separate love of God from love of neighbor and render both useless. In Christianity, all too often, we put hurdles or stumbling blocks before ourselves and others in order to prove or test our faith, our love of God. We tell ourselves and other people that there are certain attributes or actions that qualify us as those who love God or who disqualify us from truly loving God and being loved by God. We set up this checklist, modern day purity codes, and we use them as a weapon against God's grace. In doing so, we, like the Pharisees, like the church that Luther was trying to reform, we separate love of God and love of neighbor. And when we do, when we only focus on that love of God, we end up worshiping false gods. I use the image of the cross to explain this. When we love God and love our neighbor, we have the cross. But when we neglect our neighbor in order to seemingly love God more, we end up with just a pole, which all over the Old Testament, you hear about people setting up poles on high places as to worship false gods. If our love of God does not also show love of neighbor, it's probably not actually showing love for our God, for the one true God. The two are so intertwined when they are lived out that we cannot separate them. When the Spirit works in us so that we can truly live out our love of God and love of neighbor together, this enables others to more clearly hear that Jesus' teaching and to follow his teachings. It enables others to be more fully be able to believe that the difficulties of this year and every year, but this year in particular, do not get the last word, but that the gospel, that God has a plan and has a promise for us when it comes to eternal life. When the two, love of God and love of neighbor, are intertwined and lived out, it enables others to more completely experience God's grace, more completely live into the eternal life that God envisioned for humanity from the beginning and promises to each and every one of us. When our love of God and love of neighbor are connected in the cross, it enables us to better understand that God is always reforming, but never changed. God remains steadfast. God remains loving us, promising us, giving us life, constantly creating us in God's image. And in doing so, reforms us over and over again, each and every day, turns us from our sin, gives us the example and guidance and salvation of Jesus Christ, so that we may continue to show love of God by loving our neighbor, and loving our neighbor by loving our God. God loved humanity from the beginning, created us in God's image, continually guides us along the right path, that is to love God and love neighbor, reforming us along the way, knowing that we are going to mess up, but loving and forgiving us nonetheless. Amen. Thanks be to God.